You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. Down with the King for years, about 10 of them. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic podcast produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by my tag team partner in crime, Marcus Vandenberg. What is going on, Brother Marcus?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. And we had to come back and do a show really quickly this week because anybody that listens to the King of Sport knows Marcus and I are pretty big wrestling fans, been wrestling fans for a long time. And when big news occurs, we have to, you know, talk about it, discuss it, give our takes, you know, and let you guys know what we're feeling about these big topics. And there was no topic bigger, Marcus, and I'm sure you'll agree, than last week when I logged on and the story popped up that Virgil, has started a GoFundMe so he can become the true $1 million man.
You know, I mean, sometimes you just have to stop what you're doing and respond and react to such shocking news from such a prolific African-American wrestler like Virgil.
Yeah, I mean, this is the type of thing that can change the game. I mean, what was your initial thought when you heard the news that Virgil was starting this campaign to become a $1 million man?
Can he count $10 million is my first thought. I wonder, a legit question. I do wonder. My second thought was Virgil, he's still alive. That's good to know. And then third was, does this mean he's going to stop charging people for autographs at his one-man signings?
That is a good question. I'll tell you my initial thought, though, Marcus. You know, I was at home by myself, and I'm logging on to the computer, and I'm seeing all these alerts, and says Virgil's starting to GoFundMe to raise $1 million. And my initial thought, Marcus, was nigga, please. Oh. And it's crazy. It's crazy because, you know, I was in the privacy of my own home. And I use the word that I don't use a lot. But it just, I just felt that emotion just reading the story that Virgil is trying to get $1 million from the fans. I was just like, nigga, please. And so I think that's a pretty good tie-in to maybe the other big story of the week. I was going to say the second biggest story, but I guess it's kind of 1A and 1B. And, of course, that is the ongoing saga of one Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. Hollywood Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. Mr. America, a.k.a. who'd have thought he was a racist?
Well, I guess we all should have. I mean, really. Who in the wrestling industry in the 80s? Hasn't said that word a few times. Maybe that's the point where Hulk Hogan, where it was coming from such a vile place. But I mean, Jake the Snake Roberts was on the Law on Sunday. Jake said he's used the word. Warrior. We'll touch on Warrior later. Rest in peace. But he's had his share of incidents. I'm sure he's tossed that word around. I'm sure the Macho Man has used the word. Tell me Ric Flair hasn't used that word before.
Wait. Oh, you know,
come on.
Ric Flair.
Come on.
Ric Flair, if you listen to any shoot interview from Teddy Long, you can tell Ric Flair loved that word. Mm-hmm. Like, his two favorite words were woo and nigger.
Yeah.
So. And maybe not in that particular order.
Yeah.
But for those that haven't heard, and I don't know, if you're listening to this show, I don't know why you wouldn't have heard about this story. This is not just a wrestling story. This has been on CNN and Fox News, and they've even talked about it on ESPN Radio. So this is a mainstream news story. But kind of catch everybody up to speed about the events that went down last week, Marcus.
Yeah, so there was a, well, there's a sets tape that's been sort of been mentioned now for a few years now between Hulk Hogan and the wife of Bubba the Love Sponge, a shot DJ. And I guess part of this sets tape that has not been released yet until last week was this rant, I'm assuming after the sets, with Hogan. And
I hope so. That's a hell of a foreplay.
Yeah, and that whatever turns you on, I guess. And in the, on the tape, and this is only the transcripts, we haven't actually heard the audio and had some context here. But it, basically Hogan, you know, starts off saying, I guess we're all a little racist, and then he goes on to talk about his daughter, Brooke, dating a black man. At one point, he says, I don't know if Brooke was fucking the black guy's son. And then he goes on to say, I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I'm a racist to a point, fucking niggers. But then when it comes to nice people and shit and whatever, he goes on. He later adds, I mean, I'd rather, if she was going to fuck some nigger, I'd rather have her marry an 8-foot-tall nigger worth $100 million, like a basketball player. I guess we're all little racist fucking nigger. So, that was part one of the tape. Since then, on Monday, there was a little portion that was released that was directed towards Jamie Foxx. And on Tuesday, when recording this, there was a portion where Hogan was referring to someone as a faggot. Let me find the quote here. Hold on.
And this, all of this stuff is stemming, and this has to be, at the time, I'm sure it was not the best idea, but now in hindsight, this whole deal with Bubba the Love Sponge and his ex-wife, Heather Klim, like, this has to be one of Hulk Hogan's biggest regrets. And he's had a lot of them.
Yeah, this is probably, all right, here it is. VH1 wanted me to do a bit thing and go back to the house I grew up in. He told Heather Klim, his set's partner in the tape, and ex-wife of former friend BJ Bubba Klim. He's talking in reference to his reality show, Hogan Knows Best. So he knocked on the door, he continued, and a bit fad lives there now. And then he says, where is it? There was one more line that I saw.
So we've got racism, we've got homophobia. Is he going to go for the trifecta?
What's missing? Women?
I'd say either women or some anti-Muslim rant.
Directed towards a sheik. And then the one interesting part was the very end of this, I guess. Bubba the Love Sponge, who, let's set this up for you. This guy basically watched his wife, well, he did watch his wife fuck Hulk Hogan. He chimes in and says,
was Bubba the one running the camera?
I believe so. Bubba can be heard saying, directed towards Hulk, who's your nigga? Before reportedly giving him a pair of inscribed Hulk Hogan Oakley sunglasses. I have something for you, Bubba continued. Who's your nigga? So, Bubba, you're not off the hook on this either.
Can we get Awesome Kong to go back and punch him again, retroactively?
Please. Yeah, I wish.
Oh, like, this is just terrible. And I guess in the ensuing days, because this all started to pop off, what, late Thursday?
Late Thursday night was when all the stuff disappeared, and then Friday morning was when the story came out.
Yeah, and there's a couple different paths that have sprung from this story. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. You've got the wrestling aspect where the WWE has, fired Hulk Hogan from his job as an ambassador and also as one of the judges on Tough Enough. They've gone through and removed his they've removed mentions of him on the website, and also he won't be in the upcoming WWE 2K16 video game.
Yeah, that's correct.
You've also got the aspect of the legal side of things where, you know, this is a, I guess, some type of, well, it's alleged to be some type of deal between Gawker as well as Radar Online and the National Enquirer, and the means that they went to acquire this and leak this tape, you know, in terms of infringing on Hulk Hogan's rights, what what is that going to entail? And then also the other aspect is the reaction from the fans. So I don't know which one of those paths you want to tackle first, Marcus, but I'll let you lead us down the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start with the National Enquirer radar. So this was at a joint deal that they put out, and essentially Hulk Hogan is now, well, not now, but he has a lawsuit with Gawker over this sex tape, and based on sort of what Gawker was going through in the prior week with a different story, were you familiar with the story, Nate?
I heard bits and pieces with the, was it with the editor leaving?
Yeah, they essentially outed someone at Condé Nast, an employee over there who I guess had, I believe, solicited a gay porn star. And essentially, somehow, Gawker found out this information, outed this person, and then pulled down the story.
Even for, like, a tabloid site, that's pretty low.
Yeah, because, I mean, the person wasn't a household name. It was you know, just a regular employee at Condé Nast, someone, you know, who shouldn't have been outed like that. So that happened last week, and that led to a couple people, including Tommy Kratz, who left the company. Tommy Kratz used to be at Deadspin before moving over to Gawker. And so that happened, and, you know, Gawker's been in the headlines. And then a few days later, surprise, surprise, his Hulk Hogan stuff gets leaked. And, you know, if you put two and two together, you might assume that this was probably a Gawker leak because this is all part of a deposition that has been sealed for years now. So this information has been out there. People have known about this stuff, but I mean, you couldn't really report on it because it was sealed information. So
do you think that the leak was in retaliation for the lawsuit?
I don't know. I mean, if I had to guess, I would say that with everything going on over at Gawker and all the people leaving, that someone maybe on the way out
was just had, like, screw it,
had access to this information and released it and leaked it out and got it out there. That would be my guess, because the timing just, it seems like, I mean, the Hogan sex tape stuff had been quiet, the lawsuit's been ongoing, but you know, no one was talking about the sex tape, and all of a sudden Hogan's now in the news for this tape again. So my guess would be someone on the way out had access to this information and released it to Radar and the Enquirer.
That's not a bad guess, because that was my big question. It was like, why did this all come out now?
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, this lawsuit's been ongoing, and it just seemed to, like we said, Thursday night, you just saw all these things start to bubble up, and then the social media, of course, caught fire. And I guess, you know, for the next few hours, it was all people were talking about. And then Friday, once people had a chance to kind of wake up and realize that this wasn't a hoax, or realize that this wasn't just some quote-unquote wrestling nonsense, then it really took off.
Yeah, Friday was interesting. Well, Hogan had that cryptic tweet late Thursday, basically saying, you know, let me find the tweet, but he knew shit was about to hit the fan.
Yeah, so he was like something like, you know, God only gives us.
In the storm, struggles. I lose control. Yep. God in this universe will sail me where he wants me to be. One love. HH. So that was at 10:17.
Also, timeout, Marcus. In the midst of all this seriousness, mm-hmm. there are nuggets of humor to be found. And one of the funniest things through all of this is when the hell did Hulk Hogan start ending his tweets with one love? Like, when did he become a 90s rapper?
A 90s black rapper?
One of these so-called niggers.
Yeah.
One love, brother.
Yeah, so. That was late Thursday, and then Friday when I woke up, checked my email, and you never want to see in your email at 8 a.m. an email from WWE talking about a statement from the WWE, and I was like, oh God, who died?
Yep.
And I clicked on it, and it said, you know, Terry Bollea has been, you know, basically fired from the company, and I was like, oh, that's odd. And then I checked my email again, and I saw we did a story on Yahoo Sports. And I was like, oh. So, Hogan has, you know, in situations like this, usually you have a good PR team around you. And they'll probably tell you, hey, after you issue your apology, and Holden did issue his apology, usually you might want to lay out and, you know, disappear, fade off in the sunset, maybe stay off social media, stay off Twitter. Holden's philosophy is the complete opposite. He has been all over Twitter since this happened. My favorite being the people who are sending him fake tweets and support. Yes. And my favorite was the photo of Drake and Rio Ferdinand of former soccer player Manchester United. Hulk, probably not knowing what these two black people look like, was, hey, cool, support, retweet. This has been going on. It's still going on now. Tuesday, we're at, well, let's see. He has not tweeted today. So this is progress here.
It's been funny because, you know, the whole experience over, I'd say, from Friday through Sunday night, because that was kind of the capper when Hulk was just retweeting all of these notes of support. And the icing on the cake came from somebody who was like, if our biracial president can say nigger and nobody gets offended and he gets applauded for it, why can't Hogan say nigger? He gets fired for it. I don't see the justice. And Hulk, in his infinite wisdom, you know, like you said, he needs a better PR team, or he needs to listen to his PR team. Hulk decided to retweet that. I don't know what he was thinking when he was at the computer. Like, the PR guy's like, Terry, you can't retweet this. And he's like, no, I got to take a stand. It don't help to hide. I got to be a man. I can't let it slide, brother.
Yeah, and I was actually, the Washington Post, somehow that became, Hulk Hogan asked why it's okay for President Obama to use the N-word based off a retweet. But all right,
I mean,
whatever.
To be fair, he did not ask that, but when you retweet somebody, yeah, you're kind of endorsing it.
No, I mean, and all the stuff, I mean, Hogan's, trust me, I'm not trying to defend this dude, but some of these headlines are kind of skewed. If you don't have Twitter words and you look at this headline, you're like, wow, he really asked that question?
Well, that leads to the third prong, Marcus, in terms of the reaction both from the wrestling fans and also the media at large. What has been your take on how people have responded to this controversy?
Well, the wrestling fans
and the wrestlers themselves, because he's received a lot of support from people in the industry.
In terms of, on an offensive scale, starting from how the WWE responded to working their way down to the fans, to, I guess, the wrestlers themselves. I find actually how the WWE responded the most troubling, followed by these wrestling fans who just need to let their childhood go. Listen, if we can't watch the Cosby Show and we can't look at Bill Cosby the same way, then
Marcus, real quick, do you know the comedian Ron Funches?
No.
Okay, he's kind of one of these alternative kind of comedians, kind of like Hannibal. Mm-hmm. He's like a big, heavyset black dude who has like this really whimsical voice, and he giggles a lot. He's usually on Chris Hardwick show, At Midnight. He's on that a lot. But he posted a tweet on Friday, and it was a white guy and a black guy just hugging, and it was like the black guy saying, sorry you lost Hogan, and the white guy said, yeah, man, sorry you lost Cosby. I was like, that sums up the week right there.
Yeah. Wrestling fans, listen. I'm talking to black wrestling fans in particular here. Why you are defending this man, I have no idea. He clearly does not care about African Americans.
Well, not all African Americans.
Well, if you're not 8 feet tall and making $100 million. Surprising you're throwing big penis in there too, just to be out over the top and stereotypical.
Brooke can only sleep with a mandingo, brother.
Yeah. So I don't understand why you're doing anyway to defend this man.
It's kind of like the discussion we had with Cosby. Like, I understand, like, if you grew up on you know, Hulk Hogan in the 80s and you know, you liked him wrestling Andre the Giant and Sergeant Slaughter and Warrior and all them dudes, that's cool. You know, you can, like we talked about with Benoit, with Cosby there, you can separate the artist from the art. Mm-hmm. Some people can, and if you, like, still want to be a Hulk Hogan fan, that's cool. But like Marcus is saying, like, don't defend him, especially if you're an African American fan. Like, you can appreciate what he's meant to the business, but I don't see any need to be caping up for this dude.
Listen, you can still watch WrestleMania 6. It's not going to bother me. I can still watch Hulk Hogan matches to this day, and it won't bother me like maybe a Chris Benoit would. That's okay, but to go out of your way and tweet support for this man, you know, comparing this to Cosby, the Cosby thing, when it first happened, I could almost understand the Cosby supporters because at the end of the day, it is he say, she say. And at the time when it wasn't 35 women coming forward, all right, maybe, you know, if you want to cape up for Cosby, that's all right. But
To Bill Cosby, and this is probably the only instance where I'll be fair to Bill Cosby, in terms of what he meant to the African-American community until he went crazy and started telling everybody to pull up their pants, like in terms of education and you know, helping kids get to college and stuff like that and being a role model. Like, to me, I think Cosby had more resonance within the African-American community than Hulk Hogan did.
Yes, yes. You know, he gets the pass because he's black. You know, we tend to defend our people to the very end, unfortunately, right or wrong. So, Cosby, I understood, but the Hogan stuff, really, I mean, do you need to hear the audio? Do you need to hear his inflection and tone and how he's addressing and his tone when he says nigger? I mean, I don't understand why we're defending this man.
You know whose support made me the most sad, Marcus? And I wasn't even angry at the man. I was just sad by his comments.
Kamala?
Yeah, man, because, I've interviewed Kamala before, and he's, to his credit, he is not a bitter person, which I don't know if I could be if, you know, the wrestling industry kind of dealt me the cards that Kamala got dealt. But, you know, he came out and he's like, you know, I never knew, saw this side of Hulk. He was always fair to me. And that's all well and good. But really what I'm thinking, I'm getting angry for Kamala. I'm like, if he really cared about you, you would not have your feet missing right now. Him, you know, Hogan, Vince, the WWE, they did not care about this man besides what type of money they could make off of Kamala's back. And now for people like him and even people like Virgil to be throwing their support behind Hulk Hogan, it's like, he doesn't give a damn about you guys.
Yeah, it's hard for the workers, because I do feel like if this...
It's like, man, if Hogan really cared, man, when Kamala was out there trying to raise money for his medical bills, Hulk would have been like, nah, you ain't even got to do that, man. I got you. Here's a check.
Yeah, yeah. But I just mean, if you worked with a guy for X amount of years, and then you find out after the fact that there was this tape that where he was using racial slurs, and you never heard any of it coming from his mouth directly, you never had any issues in terms of race. I don't know. I feel like that the wrestlers, while I don't agree with their open support, I can sort of understand, because a lot of these guys work closely and they travel the road together, and I'm sure they have a close relationship as wrestlers, and that's an environment I'll never understand. So that one I can sort of understand, but a lot more than the fans who are just, you know.
But if there is one thing you can say about Hogan, unlike even a Ric Flair, like, he did know how to work the backstage area. He didn't know how to politic. Yes. So I'm sure a lot of these guys never saw that side of Hulk Hogan because he was not stupid enough to allow them to see it.
And trust me, if there was that side of Hogan, it would have come out before now. Someone would have, you know, the same way we've heard stories about Michael Hayes and all those guys. If Hogan were directing the N-word at, you know, Toto Beware, it eventually came out in some shoot interview or something. So the fact that it was really hush-hush and it was the first time you've really associated Hogan with racism tells you that Hogan was no fool when it came to shutting his mouth in the back around black workers. But that takes me to the WWE, where they have now basically gave Hulk Hogan the Chris Benoit treatment. And this has now set themselves up for a lot of questions going forward. My question that I tossed out on Twitter was Donald Trump. So we're cool with Donald Trump basically accusing Mexicans of being rapist. And he's still in this quote-unquote Hall of Fame, and he's still on their website. But Hulk Hogan is erased right away. So that tells me either there's not a strong Latino presence or voice in the locker room or in that front office that can put the pressure on the WWE to do something, or when it actually happened. I mean, I think it's kind of late now to go back and take down Donald Trump. But I do wonder what is going to happen in the future when it comes to any type of legends who the company might honor. I've seen people mention the Warrior and how they've named an award after this dude. The Warrior was a homophobe who might have been slightly racist as well. So it's really interesting to see why they decided to move so quickly and so fast on Hogan, when I think a simple "you're fired" would have been fine. The fact that you needed to erase him from the website seems a little bit over the top, even for me as a black male. It seems like, why? I mean, there are a lot of racists. Michael Hayes, I'm looking at you, buddy.
Mm-hmm. That's my biggest point, because, you know, and we're going to tread this line lightly because we don't want to get any calls from some people. But to me, if you're going to say, oh, the WWE does not support this type of sentiment and we don't agree with the words and actions of Hulk Hogan and we're distancing ourselves from him, it's like, well, you need to distance yourself from some people that are currently on the payroll and maybe, dare I say, Marcus, some people that are signing the checks.
Nate Milton said that last part. I will co-sign the first part. Because,
hey, I'm talking to you, Allison, in human resources.
Oh, poor Allison. She just let it slip one day. She didn't mean to call that dude. N-word.
She's like, has anybody given Mark Henry his check yet? That nigger's going to be really mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy that, and I don't think that they should be celebrating Hulk Hogan, obviously, but I also think it's going way too far to try to whitewash, for lack of a better term, this man from your history, because you cannot write the history of wrestling and particularly the WWF/WWE without mentioning the accomplishments and the achievements of Hulk Hogan. And so it's like, man, you got people on the payroll that have been actively racist. Like Hulk Hogan, yeah, what he said was, and it's not just that he said the N-word, Marcus, not just that he said the N-word multiple times. It's the kind of cavalier and deep-seated resentment and hate behind his words. Like, that's the most upsetting part of the tape to me, not that he used the N-word. But you've got people that have actively been racist towards people that have been employed by the WWE. And not only were they not fired, but they still got their job years later. And, you know, you could argue that there was no lesson learned from a corporate standpoint. Like, I don't see this changing anything that goes on in the WWE headquarters, even though it probably should make a lot of people take a look in the mirror.
Here's a story from 2008, TMZ, even back 7 years ago, still on top of all things wrestling. TMZ has confirmed that Michael Hayes, the head writer for WWE SmackDown, has been suspended for 60 days, allegedly for using racist language in front of wrestler Mark Henry. Michael's haymaker was supposedly thrown while out drinking at a party during the weekend of WrestleMania, where Pro Wrestling Net reporter Hayes told Henry... Pro Wrestling Net reports Hayes told Henry, quote, "I am more of a nitter than you are." So...
Come on, PS.
This was 2008. We're now in 2015. Michael PS still getting a check from the company. So,
and you know, you mentioned the Jake the Snake interview from The Law on Sunday, and I think, man, if Hulk Hogan were smart about this thing in terms of handling it, man, he could learn a lot from listening to Jake the Snake, because Jake did not beat around the bush. He's like, you know, yeah, I said that word, and it's a hateful word, and that was the way I was raised. But as I've grown up and you know, gotten older, it's something that I realized was wrong, and it's something that I work hard to, you know, not fall back into. And it's like, I appreciate the honesty, and I appreciate, you know, what Jake said on that. But to the other side, to the people that are like, oh, man, this happened 8 years ago, man. Why y'all bringing up old stuff? This was 8 years ago when Hulk said this. And I'm like, Hulk Hogan is 61 years old. So you telling me at 52, he didn't know what the hell he was saying when he started using all these N-words? Like, he was just some young man making youthful mistakes and indiscretions?
Yeah, and I mean, Hulk Hogan, because of his stature, because of his impact in the wrestling community and his impact in the sports community, he's, you know, fair or not, held to a higher standard than most wrestlers. You know, if this were Glacier, for example. Sorry, Glacier.
Hey, you leave Glacier out of this. Ray Lord is a fine man, and he does not have hate in his heart.
Ray, cover your ears for a couple minutes here. if this were Glacier, and this rant came out 2015 from
and he was 7 years ago. He was talking about Curtis Hughes and Ice Train.
Yeah, he was talking about, you know, Teddy Long and tag matches and oversized suits.
Bob
and
Walker.
Yeah. Nobody would care. nobody would care because who's Glacier? But everyone knows Hulk Hogan. I mean, he's easily the most recognizable wrestler in the world.
Even now.
So, yeah, you're going to be treated differently when it comes to stuff like this. And Hogan, he's going to have to realize that he needs to do, if he wants to have any shot of having a career in this industry going forward, he needs to really sit back and reflect on what he said and how he needs to sort of change his outlook going forward. What do you think his, in terms of just the wrestling industry in general, not WWE, because I think he won't be back, but in terms of wrestling, do you think someone will touch Hogan going forward?
Two parts. I think, number one, I could see some reckless indie promoter trying to do this. Like, I don't think any promotion with any credibility or even any promotion that has lost credibility, such as TNA, like, he's not going to show up on Lucha Underground, ROH, TNA, even Global Force. You know, those type of organizations aren't going to touch him. But I could see somebody like, you know, one of these indies out here that can pony up enough cash and maybe have Hogan come in. And I could see Hogan being, you know, Hogan's a smart man, but sometimes, Marcus, he's not the most self-aware human being. And I could see Hogan chasing that check because, you know, he's not broke, but he does need some money.
Yeah.
But the second part would be in terms of major wrestling federations and particularly the WWE. I don't see Hogan back anytime soon, but it would not surprise me if maybe 5 or 10 years down the road, if he's still with us, that Hulk Hogan is kind of welcomed back into the fold.
Well, I mean, I wonder at 70, will there still be an outcry for Hulk Hogan?
Like, I don't think that, like, he's not going to have some type of on-screen role or anything like that, but I do think there's going to be a public kind of welcome home prodigal son moment. If Vince and Hogan are both still alive 5 to 10 years from now, I think that moment's going to happen because of their kind of weird, crazy relationship.
I think we see CM Punk back before
Hulk Hogan. You know Vince really didn't want to do this.
I don't know. How many times has Hogan screwed over Vince?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They've got, like, this weird Tom and Jerry relationship. Like, Tom and Jerry hate on each other, but then occasionally you get those cartoons where they team up against the Bulldog or whatever. Like, I think Vince and Hogan, like, that's a really weird, almost brotherly, sort of almost fatherly, kind of crazy relationship where I don't think that, like, I don't think it's going to sit well with Vince McMahon himself if he's around in 10 or 15 years and Hogan's around and they have not at least, you know, kind of mended fences. Like, I don't think they're going to do, like, a big Hulk Hogan day, but I do think there'll be something where, like, Hogan shows up back at headquarters and they take a picture and it's, you know, all is not forgotten, but all is forgiven.
Well, I mean, the previous times Hogan's been a fuck up. It's a little different, but now they're a public company. Hogan messes up, that's costing people money. And on Friday, it cost the company $50 million because the shares of the stock dropped, I think, 4 points or 4%, I believe. Let me check.
Yep.
So I think that McMahon has a little bit more responsibility than people who report to you now. He's got shareholders to keep happy.
He does, but he's still Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And, you know, everything you're saying is correct and accurate, but the way that man from all, you know, people we've talked to, the way he views himself, I think he's like, you know, screw it. I'm above all this. I'm Vince McMahon, damn it.
By the way, I just Googled Vince McMahon's name. The first story that pops up, 10 things that will happen in WWE when Vince McMahon dies.
Wow. Y'all really sitting out here with calendars waiting for this man to pass wrestling fans.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, I mean, if Vince is still running things at 80, 10 years
like
from now.
If Hunter's in charge, yeah, I don't see it happening. But if Vince is still around and he's still able to call shots, I see that moment happen eventually.
Well, I don't see Vince running things at 80. I don't see Vince running things past 75, to be honest.
I think he's going to run – well, running things and being active with the company are two different things, I think. Like, I don't think – he might not be the top man in terms of the day-to-day programming decisions, but if he's still involved – like, if he's still alive, that's his life. Like, he doesn't know anything else but wrestling. Well, like, what's Vince McMahon going to do? He ain't going to play golf on the weekends.
No, I think he will pass the torch to Triple H, and he will not. He will be involved, but he will not be on the road 52 weeks a year.
No, absolutely not.
He will be, you know, back in Stanford, and.
But I do think he'll kind of have that kind of Dick Cheney position where he can. this is terrible. Like, if people didn't get mad at the race talk, now I'm going into politics. But you know how the way people speculated that Dick Cheney had sway over George W. Bush, even though George W. Bush was Dick Cheney's boss?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Vince can, like, every now and then Vince might say something, and Hunter's like, we got to listen to the old man on this one, Steph.
Ah, Vince. That's the one guy I would like to meet.
Yeah. Would he like to meet you, though? That's the bigger question.
He doesn't know what I do. He knows nothing. What kind of name is that? God damn.
But real quick, last thing on this before we take a break and come back on the other side. You know who I kind of – what almost made me feel as bad as the racial stuff when I was reading the transcript of Hogan's comments?
What's that?
The stuff involving his daughter. Like – if she, like, she's reading this, I don't know what type of relationship they had.
A weird one, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Seems like a weird kind of relationship. Less said about that, the better. But, like, your dad, like, if you just read a comment to your dad saying how much of a screw-up you are and how much you've wasted of his money and talking about your choice of relationships or sexual partners, like, if I'm her, I don't know if I, like, and she came out on Friday, I guess, with this poem, I guess, that was kind of sweet in a elementary school kind of way, defending her dad. But if I'm her, like, I don't know if I'll talk to this dude for a while.
Her latest tweet today, Brooke Hogan, I think it might be a lyric or something, but it's quote, he asked me, what position do you like most? I said CEO. Sexual undertones, maybe bad timing on that. give it a lead, Brooke.
Oh, Ms. Hogan. Yeah. But yeah, I think we're gonna leave it here, and then we're gonna come back on the other side, Marcus. So, to anybody that is a Hulk Hogan defender or in the Hogan family, you might want to tune out for the next segment because we're gonna bring in a friend of the program, somebody that is gonna hold no punches when it comes to this Hulk Hogan topic. You've heard him on The Law. You've heard him here on the Kings of Sport. Coming back, it's going to be Ronnie. Ronnie the Enforcer from Houston. He's coming on. And it's probably going to get a little lively up in here, Marcus.
Ronnie, let's keep it in control, man. I'm surprised you made it through The Law last week without I guess crackers okay in Canada. I don't know if that'd fly in the United States, but we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, we're going to see how this goes. So, Hulk, if you're listening out there, I just got one question for you, brother. What you going to do when three so-called N-words and the world's most dangerous sports show runs wild on you?
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga! What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? my nigga.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, The Place to Be Podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
And now it's time to return to the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time.
It's the Kings of Sport, thekingsofsport.com.
Let's go. We're going to try Ronnie in Houston again on line three.
All right, Ronnie.
Yo, what's the deal? What's up, Agnew? What's up, Mom?
Hey, we're here, man. What do you got to say?
First and foremost, man, never trust a guy that wears a do-rag to court. The guy wears a do-rag to court.
Okay.
Who does that? No black guy's done that. Black guy's done that. And you want to come talk about anywhere. Check this out, man. This dude spent all his money trying to get his no-talent, big-feet daughter a record deal. And the black guy gives her a record deal, and he's mad because the guy's son want to bang his daughter. Oh, no, an N-word can't bang my daughter unless he's 8 foot, making $100 million. You white cracker punk, ain't no 8 foot tall, $100 million basketball player. The closest is Roy Hibbert. He sucks.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan is a piece of crap, man. I was a Hulkamaniac growing up, man, but nah, he's a racist punk. When you're raised at 50, you're raised at 6 years old as well, man. This man crapping all these marks on Twitter, supporting him, those guys from the powerhouse and all that junk, man. That's what makes me sick, dog.
Ronnie, thank you very much for the phone call. And despite your age, thank you very much for not swearing on the air.
Yeah, it was very restrained.
He was. Yeah, it was very good. Was good. Ronnie there. Good stuff.
We are back on the Kings of Sport. It is a very special episode. Of course, we are discussing all things Hulk Hogan this week here on the program. And as you just heard, there is a member of the Kings of Sport family who is very passionate about this subject. He is a friend of the program. He is our Houston correspondent. And for all we know, he might be the DJ for the Sauce Twins. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program, the enforcer, Ronnie Richards. What's going on, my man?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, dog? It's a calm and light today, man. So you ain't going to get my fear and impersonation tonight.
I don't say, man. You were pretty fired up.
Just a bit.
Yeah, just a bit fired up when you called into the law the other night. What was going through your mind?
The thing was, like, everything every Friday is, and you know, you read Twitter stuff, and some of the couple guys you follow on social media, you got respect for. We're kind of defending him a little bit, and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So I was actually at work that Sunday when the guys during the show, because I work a double shift, so I was already on edge and work at a retirement home, so you never know what happens between 8 and midnight, though. So I missed the first call, so I had an emergency with a resident, so I was already on edge. You never get this call, and then when they called me, I was already like, you know, so I already waited, I had my take in there, I just kind of went off the cuff and just, you know, said what I had to say about him, said some things, you know, some things, you know, that probably could have got me cut off early, but, you know, it is what it is, man. The whole lit a lot of fans
now,
man.
Yeah, I will say the two things that probably saved Ronnie that night from getting cut off early, Marcus, were A, he kept his language pretty clean, and B, like, that was not the night to be cutting off a black caller early.
Yeah, Jason Adnews, he's no fool. You know.
Well, Marcus and I were talking in the last segment, Ronnie, about the wrestlers that have come out to support Hulk Hogan or defend him or stand up for him, and two in particular, Virgil and the Ugandan Giant Kamala. What did you think when you first heard that Virgil and Kamala was riding for Hogan?
I mean, what black guy had a respectable gimmick during the Hogan era? You know?
That is a great question.
Virgil,
the Slick.
Junkyard Dog.
What black wrestler had a respectable gimmick during Hogan's run? You know, the real Hulk Hogan is what you saw him at his house. You know, everything outside, when he walked out the house, he put the gimmick on. And that's what that was. Like, those guys don't know conversations that Vince McMahon had inside of his office. Vince could be telling you guys that Kamala's this, but he shouldn't get paid this much. So they don't know what Hogan does if he goes home or with him and Vince have those one-on-one talks at Vince or
I mean, the least offensive wrestler, to be honest, would be Mr. T. I mean, he was the only guy who came in, didn't have to, you know, do anything different. He was just Mr. T. I mean, besides that, I mean, Coco Beware, maybe?
Yeah, at that time, they probably needed
it was bad.
More than Mr. T.
Now, this the funny thing to me, Ronnie, is you got a couple different elements going on right now. You got people talking about the right to privacy issue. You got people talking about the WWE scrubbing Hulk Hogan from out of all the stuff. You know, he's not going to be in the new video game. He's taken off of the website. And then you got, you know, just the fans that are riding and caping up for Hulk Hogan. What's been the craziest thing to you about all the fallout that's gone down since Friday?
And, you know, he might have to go some hideout with Bill Cosby, you know? Or he might as well go ahead and pass away now.
That's gonna be the next reality show right there, Ronnie. Hogan and Cosby. Just follow them around for the next couple months.
Legends House!
Fallen Legends House.
Yeah.
It'd be some apartment complex in Spanish Hall or something.
Why are all these niggers speaking Spanish, Bill? I don't know.
That's why I drug them, so they don't speak.
Now, you, Marcus, what was your favorite part of the Ronnie call? Because I got my favorite.
Oh, Marcus?
I was listening live, and it was originally KME called, and then you called, and you didn't get through. And then Chucky called, and I was like, oh, wow.
Brothers on my phone with me, and I came back, because I was on Facebook, too, and it was like, I thought they were going to do something else, so I ran and asked. Yeah, luckily, Pollock took me back up and got me through again, so shout out to Pollock, man. Pollock, good dude.
Yeah, he had all, I mean, I was waiting for Nate to call in.
I thought about it because it was like the Brotherhood revival right there. I was like, oh man, I'm just waiting. Like, I was like, okay, Chris called, Ronnie called, We got Chucky on the line. I'm like, man, if either Henry
Agnew's cool with it, you know, even though me and him had a long-running feud for about 3 years or whatever, but...
Wait, you had a feud with Agnew?
You don't remember what that feud was about?
Me and him got into it with a couple of times right there. You know, he's up on me, too.
What was the feud about?
Oh, wasn't
it about karma?
I forgot. First, we had something, you know, I just spazzed out on me. The second time, I made a unflattering dick joke. I always probably have the dick joke on YouTube.
Oh, boy.
And the second time, but then the last time, I think we were talking about Brock Lesnar, and Brock first came back to 2012. But this whole thing really got me heated. But I wanted it to not. I want to keep a composure because I want to get my thoughts and my opinion out on it. So
now, you know, my favorite part, Marcus, was the dismount, because he's going through this whole thing talking about Hogan, talking about, you know, all the wrong that's going on. And then out of nowhere, he takes out Roy Hibbert for no damn reason. Like, Roy Hibbert, if he was listening, he's like, how the hell did I get put in this conversation?
Innocent bystander.
He's the closest to an 8-foot black basketball player I can think of. He's a 7'2"? That's the closest you can get is Roy Hibbert. I mean, DeAndre Jordan DeAndre Jordan just got paid. I wasn't gonna knock him. He's from the city, you know, and Dwight Howard plays the city, so I'm like, I'm gonna spare the Houston guys. I'm gonna go after Roy Hibbert, even though I'm a Lakers fan. But Roy Hibbert's the closest to 8 foot. I don't think Hogan will be very happy if his Sasquatch daughter walked in the room and presented him Roy Hibbert.
Oh man. But yeah, so Ronnie, my last question to you, I don't know if Marcus has another question for you, but what I really want to know is, because, you know, the enforcer always speaks the truth. The enforcer doesn't pull any punches. Before this happened, were you a Hulk Hogan fan? And after this happened, can you still be a fan of Hulk Hogan's work without respecting the man?
I was always a fan. I was always a fan of him. You know, I was one of the few kids that rooted for him when he faced the Ultimate Warrior. You know, I always was a Hogan fan. When I got older, you know, I understood it was basically just a gimmick. It wasn't a good game, but what the ability portrayed him wasn't really him. You know, you notice he hung around with real slimy dudes. Real slimy, suspect guys. The phone conversation he had with Nick in prison, was going through that stuff. That really turned me off. So, like, how can you say something about some dude that's basically a vegetable and saying he deserved it or whatever and all that stuff? That's really kind of like what happened to Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy was on the internet, loved Matt Hardy, and then he started doing the weird stuff, and everybody started turning on him. And turning on him, and then finally he ate those drinks, and then I tell him, okay, he's no good. That's how I feel with Hogan. Once that phone conversation, he did that, and everything he did, he tried to do a quick cash grabs, and when he did the TNA, and then his racing towards my Canadian brother, Bobby Roode, man, I was like, okay, Hogan's a fraud, man.
My last question, do you see Hogan on WWE TV ever again?
I say no, because I think a lot of the sponsors made that call for WWE and can get them out of there. And if they brought them back, they're going to have to address, I think they should address him being gone on television or something, but if they were brought back, they're going to have to address why they brought him back. The downstairs and not coming back to NBA, they banned him for life.
Yeah,
you know. So if they're ever going to do it, you know, people are going to think, oh, okay, so you think, because he said it 8 years ago. So why he said it 8 years ago? Why fire him and bring him back 8 years later after he fired? You know.
Yeah.
If fire him, let him go. People get fired all the time. You know, he ain't the first, he ain't the last. You know, he should have took care of his money.
Well, I saw Tough Enough. There's no mention of Hogan off the top, so they're pretending like, oh, we have a new judge. He's the Miz. So
I'm going to tell you what. If they really wanted to make things right, they would have brought the black boy back.
Patrick, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why are you being such a mark, brother?
Smart Mark. It's code.
Smart Mark.
Mm-hmm. like, yeah, why are you being such a racist?
Like, if you invert the word smart, the opposite of smart is foolish. What's another word for foolish, brothers? Niggardly. And if you take the Lee off of the end of niggardly, you got nigger. So he was just calling you a nigger.
Pretty much.
When you break it all down.
It's unfortunate. One of my favorite matches of all time, WrestleMania 6, now features a racist going against a lunatic homophobe. So I got that working for me.
Man, the crazy thing is, though, if they'd have both played their cards right, they probably could have been leading in the Republican presidential primaries right now.
Trust me. Warrior for president.
He would have a hell of an interest, though, just running down the aisle.
Yep.
Oh, rest in peace, homophobic warrior. But, yeah, so what else you got going on there out in Houston, Ronnie, before we let you go, man? Anything you want to plug out to the peoples?
The Texans got the Hard Knocks coming up in 2 weeks.
So you are a Texans fan?
No, I'm a Chiefs fan, but the Texans is the only thing that gets run around here.
How the hell are you in Houston and you like the Chiefs and the Lakers, man?
The Kansas City Chiefs. Marcus Allen.
There you go.
That's probably how I became a Chiefs fan. He was my favorite football player. The Raiders blackballed him. My hatred for the Raiders. Favorite Marcus Allen. And Chris McCoy was the first professional sports jersey I ever had. You know, so.
Nigerian Nightmare.
Yeah. Challenge had it for $17, and my mom couldn't afford the Larry Johnson Hornets jersey. So that's how I became a Chiefs fan. I bought the Chris McCoy jersey. He was on sale for $17.
Didn't he like kill somebody, Marcus?
Tristan McCoy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Didn't he kill his ex girlfriend or something like that?
No, Jovan Belcher?
Jovan Belcher, he's the one. Marcus, you talking Marcus Allen, but they put the pin on OJ.
And that's why we have him on. He the best in the business. He pulls no punches.
It was that black running back, USC. He won the Heisman. Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah. That USC running back that won the Heisman.
Where can the people hit you up on Twitter if they want to hear more of your opinions on things going on in the world, Ronnie?
You hit me with Ron Bomber. Let me shout out Tammy and Hugo and Chad and Poe and Cameron Walls, Cameron G, all the Brotherhood guys, man. You know, and a lot for having me on Sunday, man, because usually they always give me that don't curse warning, and I always do, but shout out to having me on. And you guys too, man. You have to get people, dog.
No problem, man. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, man. And if you haven't heard the show out there, y'all in Kings of Sport Nation, do yourself a favor. Go back and check it out. It was probably one of the best laws ever. You know, it's at least in the top 10, in my opinion, at least those that I have heard, because Mouth and Agnew and Pollock did a really good job of breaking down what was going on with the Hogan situation. And then they had that great interview with Jake the Snake, and Jake kept it real. So it was a really good show.
Oh, yeah, let me thank Danny Powers too, man, for fixing that video for me, man. He always look out for me. Danny Powers too, man.
Yeah, shout out to Danny Powers and shout out to Ronnie. Like we were talking before Ronnie came on. It's been over a year since he was on, so hopefully it won't take too long next time for him to get back on. Maybe
we'll
talk some Chiefs next year. Man. Depending on how the Chiefs do, we'll give you a call.
All right, man. Go Juice.
All right, that is Ronnie, the Enforcer. We'll be back with more right after this. My nigga.
First thing first, I love all my niggas. This rap shit cracked and I involve my niggas. You looking for some lean, let me call my nigga. He selling for the high, I need all my niggas. Some niggas smoke, smoke, some nigga drink, drink. Got niggas on the block with the Glock, they don't think. That's a nigga back up, they in a bucket laptop. I got to act right if you niggas wanna act up. He talking like a snitch, no, that ain't my nigga. He tripping off a bitch, no, that ain't my nigga.
TRN Wrestling is the pro wrestling podcast that is tearing up the internet wrestling community. It's hosted by me, Nick Hausman, and it features some of Chicago's best comedians, musicians, magicians, and of course, pro wrestlers talking all things pro wrestling. You can find it almost daily over at TheRebellionNetwork.com or subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher. TRN Wrestling, your Chicago voice for all things pro wrestling punditry.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for this week. No segment four, because if you think about it, Marcus, this whole damn Hulk Hogan story has been one big segment four. So, thanks everybody for listening to our opinions on arguably the biggest wrestling story in years. And if you guys have opinions and want to keep the conversation going, you can hit us up on Twitter, KOS_POD, or Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. But before we get out of here, Marcus, there are some odds and ends that we got to tie up. And we mentioned wrestling superstar Virgil at the top of the program. And you had a nice interaction with the living legend this week, didn't you?
A nice, weird interaction. So Friday morning when this was happening, Virgil, let me find this tweet. He tweeted out something. It was basically a video of himself singing, and he made reference to Hogan.
I haven't seen tweet. This. He was singing.
Yeah, let me find this. Hopefully, he didn't delete it.
Was he singing "My Nigga, My Nigga"?
There we go.
Oh,
by the way, Virgil, weird dude.
I was going to say, like, of all the characters in the world of wrestling, like, somebody needs to actually do a documentary on Virgil. Like, I'd actually enjoy that. All right. Virgil on Twitter. Enough of this. Enough about Hogan. How about some of this Virgil love? Okay. You got me at the title. Come on, man.
It's your boy. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if Virgil is just, he's just working
on Mike Jones.
I don't know if something's wrong with Virgil or this is all work or.
If it is a work, he's
the best worker in his career. He never worked this well in the ring.
This is an amazing, like, for those that haven't seen it, it's Virgil and he is, the song in the background is Extremes More Than Words. Which already sets it off on a random note. You know, what would you do? And Virgil is not singing along to the song. No. Virgil is making up his own special lyrics. Unlike Drake, he writes his own lyrics. And he is sitting there, and it's just, I want that money. I need big monies in my hand. And the way that I did it with the pauses, that was a lot more smoothly than Virgil performed it on the video. Like, you could tell he didn't take any time to prepare this song. He just was freestyling off the top of his head. But again, Marcus, like you said, if this is all just an act and trying to raise awareness for his campaign to raise money, good for you, Virgil.
Yeah, it's not even the best tweet from the weekend from Virgil, because on Sunday, Virgil tweeted out, last night was OG at Olive Garden, and it's a photo of himself in Times Square at the Olive Garden. And if that wasn't good enough, Olive Garden tweets him back and says, thanks for stopping by, Virgil. We always look forward to your visits. So, Olive Garden's about that verge of life.
Okay. Okay. I think I saw that one because somebody said something mean in the underneath one of the regular Twitter. Aww. They were like, you know, were you there for your shift or something like that?
So it looks like Virgil's in New York City for whatever reason.
Because he's all about the money.
Oh, so yeah, so go back to the original story. So he sent that out, and I retweeted it and added the comment. Basically, like, meanwhile, let's get Virgil's response on Hulk Hogan. And figured, you know, whatever. And then I checked Twitter later, and I get a direct message from Virgil that says...
What did you say once you picked yourself up off the floor?
I double-checked the account, and I was like, is this like a fake Virgil account, or is this like the real Virgil account? so I don't follow Virgil. He's not following me, but...
You can't direct message somebody if they don't follow you,
can you? You can. I just turned this option on recently. You can turn on the option now. Really? You can get DMs from people you don't follow or vice versa. So this is my first time. My first random DM comes from Virgil. And he says, quote, what you need from me, son? Question mark. And I pondered what to write back, Virgil.
So did you reach out to Virgil?
No. My only interaction was my retweet, which had Virgil's handle, so he must have saw what I wrote. But I wasn't being too, you know, snarky or, you know, mean. And I didn't know what to write. So I wrote back, not a thing, but would love to have you on my podcast one week since I have your attention. Virgil has not yet responded to my tweet, my DM, so.
Okay, so but maybe that's not a no.
That's not a no. That's also not a dollar sign we included in that DM, so.
I wonder if we like gave $10 to his GoFundMe when he come on the show.
I wonder how much money he's raised so far.
Let's give the total for the people so they can see how close Virgil is to reaching the goal. Don't tell me yet, Lyle. I'm going to say Virgil. How long? What's the date it started?
It's been 29 days now.
Okay, so almost a month. I will say in a month, Virgil has raised, let's say $300.
Very close. $360.
Really?
I would have thought way more. Because wrestling fans, you guys are losers. You guys would give money to anything.
Yeah, see, if I was trying to produce the show better, I would have guessed something like $3,000 or something, so the reveal would have been funnier. But I was doing the math. I'm like, I'm assuming that these marks are probably going to donate $10 a day. So Virgil's probably made $300.
Wow. So,
but GoFundMe doesn't have an expiration date, right? It's just still the project is funded.
Yeah. And this allows people to leave comments for Virgil.
Uh-oh.
And I just stumbled across.
This can't end well.
I just stumbled across one from Mike Bartley from 11 days ago. I need my anus bleached. And since you're obviously out of work, I'm going to need you to hop on down to Sally's House of Anal Bleach and pick up some. You may be asking, why does this crazy white boy need his balloon knot to be pretty? Well, that's because I'm an ass model. I thought you might need this gift since you're obviously knowledgeable about assholes. I thought you probably had a lot of tender locker room moments when you're actually allowed in a real wrestling locker room. But my ass is not the place for that. Just clean up my turd, cutter, and leave.
So disrespectful to the legend.
Oh, man.
What the... Now, I'm not really familiar with GoFundMe. I know about the Kickstarter and stuff like that, where they have not prizes or rewards, but what do they call them?
Like incentives?
Incentives, yes. Does GoFundMe deal with incentives as well? And if so, what are the Virgil incentives?
I don't know if GoFundMe does, but Virgil is out here providing no incentives from what I can tell.
So he just wants
your money.
Basically, he's cyber begging.
Yeah.
Hey, man, let me hold a dollar real quick. Let me hold my Shrew 50.
And there have been people who have actually donated. I'm trying to see what's the biggest donation so far. So it looks like someone donated $50. Oh, $100.
Okay.
It's the biggest one. And a couple.
Can we get that donator's name? Because if they like just kind of being cavalier with hundreds of dollars at a time, we can certainly use some of that.
It goes by the name Homie Juan Kenobi.
Okay, Homie Juan. Help me, Homie Juan. You are only hope.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is,
you know what?
I was expecting a lot more than 360,
man. If Virgil can raise 360 in a month, though, me, going back to our conversation last week, me and Brian Mann should be able to, as many people listen to the law shows and listen to the Kings of Sport, we should be able to get some scratch together to get that Bound for Glory VIP package.
You gotta set this up, because I've been following the TNA spoilers since last weekend. Wow. This company, I tell you.
I try to avoid spoilers, but, you know.
I sent you one. Did you click on that link?
The funny thing is, before you even sent me that, me and Brian were talking about it on the DMs on Twitter. But then the one I just saw when I was looking up some of the stuff that Hogan had sent was it kind of ties back into Virgil, where, spoiler alert, Matt Hardy loses to EC3, and I guess the stipulation was, if Matt lost, Jeff would have to be EC3's servant. Your arguably your most recognizable performer is playing the Virgil role.
That's what happens when Jeff Jarrett gets back involved. I'm just going to put it out there.
How do we know that's Jeff, though?
Billy Corgan?
I gonna say, when did that transition? Because Billy Corgan, to me, like, it's been a short run, but already you could make a DVD just off of these Billy Corgan stories. Number one, the Mickey James, James Storm, Magnus angle with the attempted murder. Number two, the whole Eric Young, Chris Melendez thing. And number three, the BDC with MVP using nigger on national television. Like, those three right there are. There are writers who've been writing for 10, 15 years who don't have one of those things on their resume.
There's probably three more out of these recent tapings. another Chris Belinda segment. there's the, I guess, the now manservant deal we got going on. And it looks like Global Force has now invaded TNA. So, Billy Corgan, take a bow, my friend.
You know, I never thought I would say these words, Marcus. But if this thing is going down the drain anyway, finally, they should have just brought back Russo.
This is Russo light. I mean, some of the stuff I've read, it might as well be Russo.
Yeah, but at least, like, the difference is with Billy, you can tell, like, Billy is earnestly trying to do a good job.
He's not.
Whereas Russo would be ready to burn this thing down. I think Russo would show up the first week, because really we've only seen Billy on TV the one time when they had everybody around the ringside. But Russo would show up on TV the first week. Well, you thought I was gone.
Well, Russo would show up on TV because he doesn't have an outlet to be famous. Billy Corgan is famous outside of TNA. He doesn't need TNA to be famous. So there's no incentive for him to go out on camera, you know. I'm surprised he went out there for that one segment he was out there for, so.
It was an important moment. They were introducing their new authority figure who'd stay for a month.
Oh, wait, the one who left already? That one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We've also had a intergender match during these Impact spoilers or Impact tapings.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what that was about, but that's a thing still.
Pushing social boundaries. That's what Billy's all about.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I thought there was a stipulation there, but maybe that was Spike that said no.
Yeah.
Man on. Okay, so Destination America.
That's why it was such a big deal when they.
Oh, that's right.
The table.
Yeah. So there's still two more days of TNA tapings, I think. The 30th or 31st.
Let's see. 30th. Yeah. Yep.
And I think they will be taped up until damn near the end of the year at this rate. So,
actually, you know, they'll be taped through Bound for Glory. They'll be taped through Bound for Glory.
They're doing this again?
Yeah. It's because it worked so well the last time.
Well, here's the thing. They've made no mention to Bound for Glory, but they made mention to Genesis. But Genesis is the January pay-per-view.
Yeah, Genesis is in January.
So
they will probably not even be on TV at that time.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, so, yeah, we see all this to say you guys need to go down to Concord, not Charlotte.
Yes. Concord, North Carolina. North Concord.
Yeah.
right off of I-85.
To attend this show, because this is setting up to be an epic train wreck.
Be legendary. Who knows? Maybe Hulk Hogan will show up.
You know, when you mentioned Global Force and Hogan, I don't know what Hogan's relationship is with Jeff Jarrett, but
I think they got a pretty good relationship.
I could see it happening. The problem is, eventually the audio is going to come out for these tapes. So yeah, that's going to be like the final nail.
Like if you thought the print was bad, wait till you actually hear him saying these words.
Yeah, so the trick is, they got to hope the audio never comes out. And he can sort of go away for a little bit and come back. But I did, if Global Force is if that stays a thing, and I don't have faith that it's going to be a thing based on no TV deal, I could definitely see Hogan doing something with Jarrett.
If I were a company that was trying to book Hulk Hogan, I would spin it. I would turn a negative into a positive and have him come out with, like, DMX, somebody else who would probably do it for the money.
Too bad he's in jail.
And just have him come out there, like, what you really want from a nigga? That's right, brother. All my niggers in the house.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think Hogan goes down the Oprah, Barbara Walters route and does a sit-down?
I think so. And I think, man, it would have been so great. But I understand why they didn't do it. But it would have been so great if the WWE had went ahead with the Stone Cold podcast with Hulk Hogan. Because that would have been, like, you know, Austin wouldn't have pulled any punches with that.
Oh, man.
That would have been epic. Like, that would have been, I saw Brian Mann tweet about it earlier. And he was like, that could have been, like, the wrestling version of the Frost-Nixon interview.
Yeah.
Like, just two of the biggest stars ever. One star is in the midst of a huge scandal, and he's going to come clean the Stone Cold. And instead of that, we get Paige. Like, I understand why they did it, but yeah. I won't be watching that Paige podcast.
Nate hates women. Brian, speaking of Brian Mann, he just retweeted, it's funny enough, someone who tweeted him and said, just listen to Cospod, and I'm 100% on board with pitching in some money to get Nate and Brian to troll TNA Live. So.
Yeah, we won't even sing about you paying us money like Virgil.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for Bound for Glory. Like, if it does come to fruition, like, this is probably going to be an interesting spectacle. Like, I'm not even going to say it's going to be a good wrestling show, but it's, like, if you have been a fan of TNA and, like, you live in the Southeast, like, why wouldn't you just make the drive or catch a quick flight? Like, if you can afford it, why wouldn't you check out this random spectacle?
Because people have other things. Speaking of spectacles, SummerSlam's 4 hours. That's not a good thing. And at some point, you know, even a good product, it's just, like, too much, let alone a train wreck for a product. Here's the thing, though. Maybe you guys should wait, because what happens if, say, you guys purchased this thing in August, and then September rolls around and there's no pay-per-view? Do you really think you're getting your money back from TNA?
Not from TNA, but from Ticketmaster.
but if you're going to do the add-on.
You're talking about the add-on. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, Ticketmaster gets your money back, but that $300 you're giving to TNA.
Yeah. I will go to Dixie Carter's house personally and be like, where my money? Hey, Dixie, where's my money? It was that old Family Guy bit. Like, where's my money, man?
Brian and
Brian and Stewie. Stewie. Where's my money? Where's my money, man? Serge would be like, Dixie, who's this nigger on the front lawn? Because I'm sure Serge has said that word in the privacy of his own home once or twice.
Ooh, everybody's getting the slander.
How did they not get in trouble? You remember when that broke went down, Marcus?
With what?
When Surge was on Twitter posting the like pictures of him with the Confederate flag because it was like when Dixie was doing the Dixieland heel character, and he was like, "I support Dixieland."
Listen, that's so tears. No one cared about the Confederate flag until 2015.
that's so 2012.
And listen, no one cared about racism until 2014, maybe.
Yeah, and I think the biggest element nobody cares about. No one still cares about Serge Carter or Serge Salinas.
Listen, if this Hogan stuff came out in the year it actually happened, he would be with this company as we speak.
He might be an executive.
I won't say all that. But I could definitely see him being a judge and Tough Enough, and still doing his Legends deal with WWE, but because it happened now and we're a little more and this is a positive, but it's just one of those things that, you know, now all of a sudden we care, you know. Now they're more hypersensitive to racism at the moment, and who knows how long this will last. This could be just a trend now, and 2 years from now we could be back to the status quo. But because this happened now, Hogan has to pay the price, as he should.
It's going to be interesting, Marcus, because this is a lot. There's a lot of things that are kind of entwined with this. Like wrestling, like you opened up this Pandora's box, Marcus, because you were the one who brought the ringside rap back because you were excited about the Undertaker. And now look what has happened. We talking about Virgil. We talking about Hogan. We talking about racist Serge Salinas.
Wow, that photo's something.
Yeah, that photo was something else. He was like, "I wasn't talking about the Confederate flag. I was talking about the story on TNA." It's like, just stick to making terrible music for your wrestler, Surge. Yeah. So with all this, Marcus, are you actually excited for wrestling inside the ropes?
I've been trying to follow the G1. I'm only on day 3. I don't know how John Pollock does this every year. I did watch a little bit of Raw. I did see John Cena get his nose broken. And I did watch ROH. Did you watch ROH over the weekend?
I did not. The only wrestling I watched in the past couple of days, I watched TNA, of course, for Review and Impact, and then I watched a little bit of Lucha Underground. But I have not seen the ROH from over the weekend.
It was the main event was ended up being a 60-minute draw between Jay Lethal and Roderick Strong.
Okay.
I did not like the match so much. I mean, 60-minute matches are tough. They did a great job, I think, in the ring, but you know, for a match that long, it felt like they spent a lot of time building the story and sort of conserving themselves. And, you know, I'd rather see them put out a great 20-minute match instead of going 75% for a 60-minute match for a draw at that. So, other than that, the pay-per-view was okay. I don't think it was anything special. But, you know, it's hard for them to do bad show, I think, at this point. So it was still a good show, but just not one of the better ones to go out and watch, so.
Yeah, ROH is in an interesting spot. Like, that's the other question I wanted to ask you before we wrap things up tonight, Marcus. Just the future of wrestling on Destination America, because we know about the TNA situation, but kind of on the down low, they're not exactly being the best broadcast partners with ROH either.
Yeah, so they got bumped from their 8 o'clock spot, it seems like, and now they're on simply at 11 following TNA. And I'm not sure what they're doing with wrestling.
You think they want to be in the wrestling business?
I think ROH was brought in to as a clean slate, as a let's try this company and see if this works, and if it doesn't work with ROH, then let's get out all the way. And I think they're finding out it's not working with ROH either, and they're stuck with this deal, I think, until December for them. So they're going to, I'm guessing, ride it out until December, and that'll be that for ROH. At least maybe in that 8 o'clock time spot, if they can work out a deal to stay. Well, the problem is they're using TNA as a lead-in, so.
Right. I mean, they either have to go back to 8 or go to 9, and I don't see them putting ROH in prime time.
Well, I'm curious to see what happens when TNA is done in September, if they move ROH back to 8 o'clock or a different day period. Because it wouldn't make sense to keep them at 11 o'clock time slot without a lead-in. So, yeah, it's interesting. I've been watching ROH on Destination America because in LA we don't have Sinclair, so it's easier for me to watch that way instead of finding it on YouTube. So they did my viewership every Wednesday.
All right. Yeah, I'm interested in how this all shakes down because as much as, and this is what Brian and I were talking about a lot, you know, when we first started the new version of Review and Impact, it's like TNA, this is a no-win situation because they shot themselves in the foot over and over and over again, but then they come to this broadcast partner who I think might be equally as clueless when it comes to, they don't know what they want to do when it comes to this entity of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
So, like, the man, it's Spike. Like, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah, just, it was, what, a year ago? TNA was getting a million every week?
Yeah, man.
Seems like years ago.
Seems, yeah, like, it's just ridiculous. So, that's our wrestling chat. Like, I don't even, like, this has just basically been an extended edition of the Ringside Rap, or in the case of, Terry Bollea, the Ringside Rap Sheet. If the people want to write you, Marcus, and see if they can get you in contact, maybe Wrestling Superstar Virgil's PR managers out there, where can they reach you and make that connection happen?
You can reach me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
All right. And you can follow me in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. You can follow the show, KOS_POD, Cospot on Twitter. And now it's time to do all of our house cleaning, housekeeping, if you will. You can check out the show on iTunes and Stitcher, like, rate, review the show. By the time you're hearing this, it will be August. And so I can safely assume, Marcus, that we're not going to win Podcast of the Month for July, but that's okay because we finished in the top 5 in comedy, top 5 in sports, and top 10, I believe, overall. So that's pretty good showing for everybody out there. But here's the thing. August is a very special month because it is my birth month. So I know all the time people are like, what can we give the godfather of the show? We appreciate him.
White women.
Outside of white women liquor and cash, at this point, any women
and chicken.
Like I was gonna say, beggars can't be choosers. At this point, I'd take a white woman, a black woman, Puerto Rican, Greek, 8-foot-tall woman.
You hear that, Hulk Hogan? He'll take anyone. He does not discriminate.
I don't know about Brooke though. Just that first meeting with her father.
Oh boy,
he's not even 6 feet. What the hell is this? What the hell is this, Gaga Jack?
But he's a smart mark, Daddy.
Yeah, he's a smart mark. go to podcastland.com, vote for the August podcast of the month. And the funny thing I've discovered about these polls, Marcus, is that it a lot of it depends on inertia and momentum.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times you'll see if a show gets like 20 votes or something like that in the first day or so, they usually can ride that out and just keep collecting steam. But if, you know, you've got a show that only gets like 5 votes the first day, maybe a couple votes the next day, it takes them a while to catch up. So if we can come out of the gate strong, I think that'll send a message. I don't know to who. Mr. Podcast Land, I don't know him. go to podcastland.com, vote for the Kings of Sport. It takes like 2 minutes, and we certainly appreciate it. Shout out to Place to Be Nation, PlaceOfTheNation.com, your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest in sports entertainment. And, of course, High Voltage Radio, HighVoltageRadio.com, with some of the craziest selections of podcasts out there, including Mr. Throwback Thursday, with frenemies of the program, Jamie and Bill.
You think Jamie is in where before?
Only when reciting lyrics.
Okay, all right.
So
that's fair game.
I think we can let that slide.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can't, it takes you out of the mood. Like, you can't just be reciting Biggie. Like, and if you don't know, now you know, neighbor. Like, it just don't fit. So, if you're in the privacy of your car, you singing some Biggie and some Tupac, go ahead and use the N-word.
But if you had a concert, though.
Yeah,
if you're on your own, you're running the risk.
Here's the baseline for white hip hop fans. Until Eminem starts using the N-word in his songs, you probably shouldn't use it out in public either.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, you would think if any white man on the planet was allowed to use the N-word, it would have been Eminem at the height of Eminem.
Yeah,
and even he was like, "Nah, brother."
Remember J Lo dropped it that one song.
Oh, J Lo.
Happy belated birthday, J Lo.
Oh, how old was she?
46.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, still looking good, J-Lo. J-Lo's 46, the ass is 23. It's all good. but yeah, I think that's going to do it. But next week.
Oh, yeah, programming note.
yeah, because Marcus will be out of pocket once again. Marcus, you heading back to Vegas?
Don't stereotype me. I do other places.
I know how you niggas do with your money.
I hold on tight to it.
Also, this is I think this show has set the record for the most niggas you
yeah.
on the King. It's like that Kevin Hart, like, Snoop, you used up all the niggas.
All of them. that was still a funny part of that roast. That was probably the funniest part of that roast.
Yeah. But so if you're not in Vegas, where are you going to be, Brother Vanderberg?
I am all over the place next week. I am going to Philadelphia for a wedding. And then from Philadelphia, I'm driving to New York that day to see my family. And then from New York, I'm driving to Toronto on Sunday. And I will be in Toronto until Wednesday. And then from Toronto, I go to Minneapolis until the following Sunday. Then I go home. So I will be jet setting or car setting for part of the trip. So, I will not be on the show next week. I will be back on the week of the 10th.
So okay, 2 weeks. So say hi to Morgan for us when you're up in Toronto and the Law Guys if you get a chance.
We'll do.
But in Marcus's absence, we do have a pretty deep bench. So I'm in current talks with a couple of options. But it will be myself and one or maybe even two. Guest co-host, so we'll have some fun next week. Hopefully it'll be a quieter week in the world of sports and sports entertainment.
Yeah, see, we spared you Tom Brady talk this week, guys. You should thank us.
Hulk Hogan blew Tom Brady off the front page because we could have just had a whole hour of debating why Tom Brady's getting the same amount of games as Greg Hardy, but nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. but that's gonna do it for this week. So again, if you have some comments, if you want some feedback, if you want to keep the conversation going in regards to this Hulk Hogan story or any of the other stories we've talked about over the past couple of weeks, you can hit us up on Twitter, KOS_POD, or on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So unless you got any other contributions to this program, Marcus, we're gonna put a bow on this thing.
You think Cal Hogan likes Al Jolson?
That would have been the ultimate. Like, I wish I wish Bobby Berger, the cop from our segment 4 last week, would have sent a tweet out to Hulk Hogan, which is in blackface. Just keep your head up, Hulk. Don't change the way you talk.
Hulk.
People like to take small things and make them bigger. Who cares if Hogan calls somebody a nigger? And that's the end. That's the end point right there. We can't do it. A, we've already used up our nigger allotment, and B, I can't, like, that's it. Bobby Burger and Hulk Hogan, that's going to make me laugh for the rest of the night. So safe travels to you, Marcus. Enjoy your trip and, thanks, and your travels, and hopefully you make it back safely, and I don't hear you moonlighting on other people's podcasts.
Next week on Review Away. No, I'm kidding.
I'm like, why? How did Marcus show up on MLW Radio with Disco Inferno?
Yeah, no, that won't happen. Trust me. For a number of reasons. The first not being Disco Inferno. So.
Disco Inferno.
He tweeted about Hogan in support.
Really?
Yeah.
In support of Hogan?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's like Ronnie said, though. Like, unless you at the house, like, I'm sure nobody in the locker room except for, like, Jimmy Hart and the Nasty Boys knew about Hogan for real, for real. Because they hung out with Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch that Hogan Knows Best show, Brian Knobbs was in every other episode.
Yeah.
For no damn reason.
He knew.
He knew, and he didn't care. In fact, he approved.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. One thing we approve of is you guys listening each and every week and sending us feedback. We appreciate it, and we hope that not only do you enjoy the show, but you also share it with the people that you love. So, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, The Kings of Sport. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. One love, brother. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of The Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Oh.